are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
My friends, I'm so happy to be with you the last day of November 2020. I thought I would have to be holed up in my basement or lower location because of the tornado warnings. And so through a lot of prayer and the prayer of Maureen and Ed and my husband and I, right now we're okay that I'm calling in from a remote location, but hopefully all of you can hear me. I wanted to share with you something that St. Francis once wrote, and that is that the devil rejoices most when he can steal the joy out of the heart of the servant of God. Did you know that? And that spiritual sadness is one of the eight thoughts or demons that the Desert Fathers said could tempt us. And this also includes pride, vanity, avarice, gluttony, lust, anger, acidia, and spiritual sadness. I want you to think about that today. You know, what is stealing your joy today? What is stealing your joy? I don't know about you guys, but whenever a storm comes up, I start to shake. It's kind of a joke in my house. I start to shake because at one time in my younger years, I lived in Gillette, Wyoming, and I was on a coal mining site. I was sent out there from an oil company in Philadelphia. I was a young 25-year-old woman, and tornadoes and all would come across the prairie, and I didn't know anything about it. So I would be caught in the middle of a prayer in the prairie with tornadoes coming at us, and I didn't know what to do. And so I really learned fear and really great respect for storms. So when I see tornado warning, it takes me back to my days, my younger days, living on a prairie in Wyoming, working in a trailer with nowhere to go and really no home. It was just a few apartments built by a couple oil companies. And I was alone. I was a single woman. And I have to tell you that it took me about 6 months to understand how dangerous tornadoes are. So when I moved back home in the East, and it really, tornadoes were really rare growing up. And to hear this at the end of November, my husband said, uh-oh, here goes Ann again. She's starting to shake. It just takes me back to those days. And I have to really focus on the spirit of joy, not fear today. And this is why my guest today is so important. Eddie Morris, he's been on the air with us so many times, and yet he is such a joy bug. He is an entrepreneur, a father, a businessman, a philanthropist, a man who loves the Lord so much. And it's time, I really wanted to be in the studio with Eddie, and I have to make that happen in the next month. But to have him calling in after he went through a, quote, monster storm about an hour ago, this man is filled with joy, and I need Eddie Morris on the air today. So, Eddie, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ann. Thank you, everybody. I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. Are you? You're not in danger right now, are you?
No. 10 minutes ago, I was in my house, and a storm went by and picked up our trampoline, which probably weighs about 200 pounds, and threw it 100 yards away. I thought we were going to get a blackout, so I got in my car and drove so I can call in. But everything's fine. Storm's gone. God is great.
Well, thank you. I'm just so grateful that, you know, thank you that it was just a trampoline and not the roof of your house or any of your children or your wife. And thank God that you're safe, and thank God that I'm safe right now with my husband. And we have so much to be grateful for. Eddie, I really wanted you to be on the air today to share with our listeners what happened last week. I mean, we know that you've been doing prayer meetings for, what, a year or two, but what happened last week that was so unique?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I've actually been doing it for almost 3 years. I mean, next February will be 3 years.
Wow.
On 25 of them. And it's neat. The we get it one time, I think we got 500 people attended. And that's pretty remarkable. I remember our pastor at St. Norbert saying, I gotta go up there. I gotta see what the heck that Eddie Morris is selling up there, because he's packing the house and he wanted to see what I was doing. And what he saw was just a bunch of people who looked at church differently. We had some friends that had gotten sick, and we didn't know what to do. So we all just said, you know what? Let's get into a church and pray. And we had some success. Some people got better. My great friend Lefty, who had an aneurysm, had really, doctors said, you have a 2% chance of surviving. Well, we didn't know what to do. So we went into a church, and on one night's notice and a little bit of texting, next day 300 people showed up. And we all looked at each other and said, wow, look at that. Everybody knows where to go in this terrible time of need for our friend Lefty. And then after the prayer service, and we had really upbeat music, and we did it differently. We didn't just go in there and pray. We made it upbeat and positive. And my great friend Dennis Cicchino, who has a band, and he's a brilliant musician, he played, and we just played healing songs, and everybody enjoyed it. And they said after that night was over, they said, Ed, that felt good. Let's do it again. So we did it 4 nights later, and 400 people showed up. The bottom line is, we're almost 3 years later. We haven't stopped doing them since.
But what happened? I mean, during the pandemic, I'm not quite sure if you still hosted these powerful prayer meetings, but last week it was different. So tell our listeners exactly what happened last week.
Yeah, thank you for asking. Last week was so special because our events are nothing but people. And last January, we had probably our 23rd one, and we were scheduled to have one in April. And then COVID hit, and we had to cancel. And from that point forward, I said, oh, man, I can't have these prayer services because our event is very different. A lot of masses were streaming masses, and there was a lot of great events out there. People were streaming things. But I said, I can't do ours. We're a people event. Everybody loves to be with each other. We call ourselves Team Hope, which is teaching empathy and mercy. And the empathy means that if you have a problem, we all can empathize with you. We're right next to you, shoulder by shoulder. And if you have a struggle, let us go through the struggle with you. And mercy meaning forgiveness. Anything goes on in our lives, we just promote forgiveness. And then Hope, Team Hope, Hope stands for helping other people everywhere. So our team is nothing but empathetic, merciful, and we help other people everywhere. So I didn't think I could go forward with an event in a church, streaming it without people there. But last week we got the guts up to do it, and we St. Norbert's great parish allowed us to use the church, and they had great technology because they're streaming the masses. And my great friend Dennis Cicchino called his band in, Donna Gebhardt, Tony Zinni, who I grew up with, Doc Strong, amazing guitarist, Paul Quigley, who I also grew up with, and it was remarkable. We went into the church, and we did our normal prayer service. I had 6 or 7 fantastic speakers, and then we mixed in music that was so upbeat. We played the Doobie Brothers, Jesus Is Just All Right, and we played Lynyrd Skynyrd, Simple Man, then Love Train at the end. And at the event last week, I just said to myself, this is so fun. This is so positive. There's no one in the audience, and my speakers gave great speeches. The musicians played so tremendously with no one in the audience. I said, this can't be stopped. This product has a mind of its own. We need to go on the road because it's so upbeat. It's so positive. We're in a church. We're all praying. We're hearing great music, and everyone is happy. I said, there's no stopping us. We need to hit the road. And afterwards, after the event was over, a couple of us went out, got something to eat, and had a beer. And we just chatted. And we all had the same feeling. that we have such a unique product, great speakers, mixing in with great music, nothing but upbeat, and we said there's more people that need to see this. There's more people that need to participate in it. And it's just a great message of hope. And we've talked about the road to Emmaus in the past, all about hope. It was just a great feeling. And all I can say is everybody's smiling. These are just normal people that we all grew up with, that we don't know why, but certainly a power bigger than us. We love going to church, saying a couple prayers, listening to great music. And we probably have 6,000 people that view our events now, you know, through Facebook, through daily texting. There's so many people that watch us. And the biggest, and this is the greatest thing we got, after the event was over, everybody texted back. Normally they would say, wow, there were some good prayers. Wow, there were some good speakers. But this time they said, man, that was some awesome music. And we realized that, you know, with a little bit upbeat music, and he actually introducing rock and roll into the church, we can really take off. And that's what we're ready to do.
Well, as you know, music is praying twice. Music is praying twice. And you know what's so different? You're using music. I mean, your friend Dennis is so well known for his upbeat music. And the two of you are so in synchronous relationship with the Lord. And that is, he uses his music and you use your ability to lead and to gather people. And so I really truly believe, Ed, that this is so much bigger. You said a few minutes ago you had 6,000 people. I mean, I remember when you just had an idea.
You're right. And, well, you know, I have a lot of friends on Facebook. And when we do our events, everybody shares it. I kind of observe how many people share it. You know, sometimes we'll see like 22 people have shared it to someone else, where they say, hey, you got to watch these guys. They're having another prayer service. Everybody tune in. And I know at a minimum we have 1,000, because every day at 3 o'clock we send out a daily prayer to 49 groups of 32. Mm-hmm. And it's roughly 1,000 people every day receive a daily list of people that we pray for that day only. You know, Monday we pray for men. Tuesday we pray for our kids. Wednesday we pray for women. Thursday we pray for our seniors. And Friday we pray for our families. So every day, 1,000 people get that prayer, and they know at 3 o'clock, you put your phone down, put everything down, you just say a quick prayer, and everybody on the list for that day has been prayed for. And that started out as 3 people, and now it's just about 1,000. So that's amazing. My great friend Tommy Farmer McCoy, he sends that out every day. And I, the other night at the prayer service, I said, we were talking about sharing our talents. And I said, what makes Farmer, that's his nickname, Tom McCoy Farmer, I said, what makes him every day for almost 3 years at 3 o'clock send this prayer out to 49 different groups of 1,000 people? And we just all gained agreement that he is sharing his talent, he's grateful, and he wants other people to share in his joy. And he does it every day for you know, like February will be 3 years. It's remarkable. And you mentioned my great friend, Dennis Cicchino.
Yes.
You know, I had the first prayer service. I'll never forget. I said, Lefty is sick. We need to have a prayer service. And I had no idea what a prayer service was. So I Googled it and said, the very first thing you need is music. Mm-hmm. So I called Dennis up. Now, Dennis and I went to Archbishop Carroll. He was 3 years older than me. I looked up to him. But I didn't know him that great. We always said hello and all that. We were both from Havertown. That was great. But from the point he came to the very first prayer service and sang music to today, just like you said, we are so tight now. It's amazing. Our friendship is based in the Lord. Nothing can get between us. And nothing can get between the band and me or anybody. We're all here to help. And I'll give you two other great examples. Our pianist, Donna Gephardt. You know, she had a daughter that was very sick. And I said to her, Donna, one time, Donna, don't worry about the next prayer service. You got big things to worry about at home. We'll get someone else. She said, no, 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 no. I need to get into a church and talk to the Lord, and I need to sing to the Lord. I'm like, wow. And then another speaker we had last week was Danny. Danny had a similar situation with a family member that was sick, and last week they had a setback. And I said, Danny, don't worry about this. Don't worry about this. I'll get someone else to speak. Take care of your family. And she goes, oh, no, oh, no. I need to be on that altar. I need to be on that altar. I said, okay. And they both sang and spoke last week and just knocked it out of the park. Just knocked it out of the park. And over the last 3 years, I've had 160 different people that have all spoke in front of the crowds. Everybody said, Ed, I can't do this. I'm not a public speaker. And everyone did it, and they all are so happy they did it, and they're all different people as a result.
So, Ed, this is an astonishing story, and now that the Lord has taken this virtually because of the pandemic, it's been a gift. I'm hearing you say it's a gift because now you can expand beyond the bricks and mortar.
Oh, my. Total gift. As a matter of fact, I closed off the prayer service last week. I mean, think about this. We have a six-piece band and seven speakers in there, 13 people in the church, and we all said, man, when they open up these doors, wait till you see this event we pull off. There'll be 1,000 people there. No question in my mind. I mean, at least 800. We were getting 500.
Mm-hmm.
Now all those people have been told to stay in their home and you can't go to church and have fun and listen to our music. And we know they're all pent-up demand, and they're just itching. I mean, I get the text all the time. Say, hey, get out there. Come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And I keep saying, I can't. We can't have big crowds. But they say, okay. And they let us look out. And I said, you're right. And Dennis and his team, and, oh, man, you should see the music that we're getting ready to play. And Dennis laughed at the end of the last event. He goes, next time we play Led Zeppelin and the Allman Brothers.
Oh, dear Lord, my husband will be there.
But you know, there's great songs. I mean, there's music out there that the words totally apply mm-hmm. to what we're talking about. So we're just finding the songs. I mean, think about it. We play Love Train. It's so upbeat, but it's such the message that we need.
Mm-hmm.
It's Love Train. And I always laugh at this world. You know, I laugh at everybody saying, oh, we're tough times. It's this, it's that. And I said, today, everything's great. There's no tough time now. It's just current times. It's been tough in the past. It'll be tough in the future. But, you know, we can handle this. And wait till you see when we come back. Wait till you see when we come back. It's going to be off the charts.
Well, if you're just tuning in, our off-the-charts guest is Ed Morris, and we're talking about the prayer meetings that he held last week virtually, but he's been holding them for 3 years at St. Norbert's and with Dennis Shekina, and what happens at these amazing, amazing prayer meetings. And over 6,000 people are on the list now, and we're talking about joy, how Ed and Dennis and his team bring joy to people who have no sense of joy. Especially today. You know, Ed, that's why I really wanted you on the air today. Of course, it's always providential, and I love to tell our listeners, my husband and I were praying this morning, our rosary and our prayer time, and I said, Lord, who do you want for radio today? So what do? 2 seconds later, not even a minute, Ed Morris texts me, so what are you up to today? It happens every time that Ed... Ed always texts or calls at the appropriate minute, and this I know is so much from the Lord, and the Lord placed on my heart that you have such a gift of joy, that you brought it to the streets of Kensington, you brought it through the Divine Mercy image, you've brought it into the lives of so many people in a very subtle way. You know, you're not grandstanding. This prayer group is not a grandstand of Eddie Morris. This is, you let it happen and flow in terms of what God wants. So what's on your heart, Ed? Have you and Dennis gotten together? You said after the last prayer meeting you got together and had a bite to eat. Do you have any sense of where God is taking this?
Yeah, I do. I do. And most of my friends say, Ed, stop thinking about the numbers. You know, if one person gets better as a result of what you guys do, that's a victory.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know myself. I'm just not that guy. I love to be around big crowds, and I just see so much joy when someone walks into the church or walks into the place where we are, thinking one way, and then when they leave, they think a different way. That to me is, I get such joy out of that. So the answer to your question is, I mean, we, Dennis and I, and we all laugh, is we want to go into the Tower Theater in Upper Darby where it seats 2,700 people. We talked about going down to the Kimmel Center. We talked about going to Mary Magdalene Church in Media that handles 1,200 people. It's going to get bigger. It's going to be more fun. And it's just going to keep helping people. And I mentioned we've had 160 different speakers. You can't believe what people say. I've never once rehearsed any speech of any of the 160 people. All I do is give them the theme, and then they do whatever they want with it. And every time, 160 people have hit absolute grand slams. And these are people that are nervous wrecks. And by the time they're done their speech, they knocked it out of the park. And it just lets you know how everybody in the world is so perfect. You just sometimes you got to help them realize that. And people have so much talent. You just got to tap into it. Sometimes they need a friend to help them tap into it. Sometimes they need a team. But I just sit back and I'm happy that we film the events, because during the events, I don't hear a word anybody's saying. I'm just so happy. And then most of the time they come up to me afterwards and say, hey, do you think I said this all right? Do you think I did this all right? And I always say, oh, yeah, you were great. And I don't remember one thing that they said because I was just so happy that they're up there. And I just saw the smile on their faces. I saw the smiles in the crowd. I saw the band just play great music. And then I go home and I watch the video, and then I really hear what they said. And it's at that point, I just realize how brilliant everybody is, because I listen to what they say. And I listen, like our video last week, I probably watched it 20 times. And they teach me so much. I said, wow, that's tremendous insight. I can't believe that person just said that. And I learned so much. So sure, I might be the name behind the event, but I think I'm probably benefiting more than anybody. And I am so grateful and thankful for all the great people that are involved. And it's just going to be more and more fun. And way back, if we had one goal, because we all know that less and less people go to church. And when we just started this event, we said, let's do it our way. Let's be different. You know, let's go into a church, have it be upbeat, play some really cool music, and our whole goal is for everybody to look at church differently and say, you know what? I need to get back in there on Sundays. I need to get back in there maybe during the week. The bottom line is I need to get closer to Jesus. And that was our goal from day one. And we said, we'll give them time. We're going to show them that the church is fun. And now we're having fun. And I would say maybe 20 times over the last 3 years, someone would walk up to me and say, hey, Ed, I just want to let you know, I haven't been to church in 20 years, but I'm screaming back now. One of our events was on just the power of confession. And so many people came up to me and said, I haven't been to confession since I received the sacrament. I never go. But now I realize the power of confession, and I'm going to go, and I feel great about it. So it's just been so fun. The bottom line is we've made it so fun, and our religion is fun.
Well, it's a joy-filled church that is lost now in the news and all the sad news of the world. People have been absorbing all this sadness and horror stories, and we've lost the beauty and joy of our church and the power of the Eucharist and the power of confession and the power of praying together. And the fact that you're just simply showing up, you know, that's what I love about you, Ed. you don't have a strategic five-year plan. You're just saying, okay, God, I'm just showing up, and you do the rest. Mm-hmm. And he is.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because I did say yes in the past to the Lord. I said, okay, I think our friends need some help. I said, I got a personality that I think I get a crowd in the church. So I said yes to the Lord for that, and then he just took over. But what you say there is really neat, because it's funny. When at the first maybe 20 prayer services, or maybe first 15, I would sit and write a speech, and I'd rewrite it, and I'd rewrite it, and I'd rewrite it. And then I'd get up there and couldn't even stay on the paper, and I would babble and mess the whole thing up. Now, I don't think one second about what I'm going to talk about. And then I walk up to the altar, I get behind the pulpit, and I just start talking. And it's so comforting, because I don't, like even today, this radio station. Okay, you're on with Ed. Ed, what are you going to talk about? I didn't plan one thought. We're just going to talk about the Lord and all the value and the gifts that he gives us.
Right.
So it's such a great feeling knowing. Actually, the feeling is knowing that I love him so much that I understand more now about him than I did in the past. And I just want to tell people all the new things that I'm understanding and the things that a lot of people don't know, the little things that I'm learning about. I'll give you a great example. I only learned recently when I go to church, but when the priest walks down the aisle to start the Mass, well, all of my venial sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're going to confession, too. You're getting a twofer. So you go to church, and you get a mini confession by just showing up. So we talked about that at one of the prayer services, and everybody smiled. They smiled because they know maybe they don't feel comfortable going to confession yet. But if they go to church and they watch the priest walk down the aisle, well, they got rid of a whole bunch of sins. And that's a beautiful gift of the church. And I saw people smile. And there's so many little things like that in our Mass, in our religion. And then when we talk about them, people smile. My daughter Frances married Billy last February. And I watched everybody, the best man and the maid of honor and all the people gave speeches. And they all did big, and I just watched them. They were so nervous. They were looking at their speeches, and they were all ready. And they said, hey, Mr. Morris, what do you talk about? I said, I have no idea. But I walked up there, and when it was my turn, I just spoke about what the sacrament of marriage meant to me and how happy I was with my daughter and Billy and just the power of that sacrament. That's all I talked about. But I didn't have to plan that, and I didn't know which words were coming out, but I just knew I was happy. We did a traditional Mass. And that was my greatest gift of the whole day, that my daughter went through a traditional Mass.
Mm.
It was just full of joy. Full of joy.
Well, speaking of joy, Ed, stay on the line. We're going to cut to a commercial. And after this commercial, friends, Ed Morris will be back with us.
This is Dr. Carol Houghton of the Diocese of Harrisburg. I have been blessed in many ways by Kathleen McCarthy's retreats, days of reflection, preaching, and teaching, especially on In His Sign Catholic Radio. When Kathleen teaches from the Scripture and shares with us her personal stories, I am deeply touched and inspired. It is as if God is speaking directly from her heart to my heart. And when Kathleen reads from her books, In the Silence of My Heart, she shares with us what God has spoken to her, an intimate message of unconditional love and mercy. God has blessed Kathleen with many gifts, which she readily shares with others, by doing every day what the Lord has asked of her. And by the example of her yes to God, we too are encouraged to give our yes to God. for Kathleen's daily and public witness to the gospel, I will be forever grateful. For it is by this example that she challenges me to become a better disciple of the Lord.
Oops. I thought there was a second commercial. I don't know what happened there, Eddie. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, and you're listening to Thy Will Be Done. Our special guest today is Ed Morris. And Ed, you know, one of the things I love about you is basically you talk to God all day long. You talk to God all day long. I mean, you could be in the store. You've told me some stories. You could be in the store, in your car, and you're listening all day long. Tell our listeners, how in the world did you start to listen to God all day long? And what's been happening in your own prayer life?
Oh, my. Yeah, well, it's funny. I've gotten to the point where it doesn't matter what the situation is, but my very first reaction is, okay, what would God want me to do right now? He's my first point of contact when I have to make a decision. And it makes life so easy because I'm going to go off his advice. So how can my direction be wrong if I'm thinking about what he would want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably going to make the right decision. If someone's brutally mean to me, says nasty things to me, wants to argue, I just sit and think. Well, God, what would you want me to do right now? And he'll say, calm down. Don't fall into this person's trap. Just demand respect that person, and then have a nice conversation. But I'm not going to get mad. I'm just not going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I do talk to him all the time. I mean, I many stories that I love to tell people one-on-one, but he did drive in a car with me one time, and he punched me, a fun punch. But he was in the car with me. Something happened to me one time. It was so amazing. But he hit me and said, thank you. I took care of some guy one time, and he said, thank you for taking care of John. I brought this guy lunch every day for a year, and he thanked me for taking care of John, and he said, you're going to be okay now, because I was a real estate developer, and I got absolutely crushed in 2008 from the real estate depression, and I didn't know what to do in my life, but somehow this guy came into my life, this named John, who was very sick, and I just started to like him, and I brought him lunch every day. He ended up selling me a property that helped me out. And when I got it under contract, I'll never forget, God was in my car with me, punched me. I jumped. I thought my kids were in the car with me, but they weren't. And then I heard a voice. It said, Ed, thank you for taking care of John. You're going to be okay now. And I never forget that. It's my number one story in my life. I jumped so high when he hit me. My head hit the ceiling. But it's a true story. I could not get myself out of the problem I got myself into financially in 08. Real estate had no value, and I owned a lot of it. It had no value at all. The only way I could get out of that is if God would give me other opportunities that would help me get through it, and he did. And what's interesting is while I was struggling, God said to me, Ed, this is going to be a nightmare for you. The next 5 years are going to be brutal, but I will never let you go. Trust me. And I said, okay, let's go down the toilet together. And we did. And when it would be so bad, I would say, is this the bottom? He would say, no, Ed, but I'll give you a couple of morsels to keep your hope up. But it's not the bottom yet. And the beauty of my conversation with Jesus was that I was able to struggle with him. And that made it easy. Like today, we keep hearing about COVID and all these struggles we have. Well, just partner up with God and go through the struggles with him, and you'll get through them. I can't imagine how I'd get through any of my struggles by myself. But with him, I get through anything. Anything. It's so easy with him. And that's why I try to live my life. And I don't go out there evangelizing real hard or getting real aggressive. I tried that. It didn't work. I got six children. None of them responded to that. I was 0 for 6. So I sit back and say, all I can do is be a role model. And maybe they'll see the joy in my life. And they'll say, hey, Ed's got something over there. Whatever he's got, I want to get a piece of that. So that's my whole goal. Treat everybody with total respect. Treat everybody like God made them perfectly, because he did. And to love everyone, forgive everyone, and develop my relationship with God. That's my three goals in life. Love everybody, forgive everybody, and strengthen my bond with the Lord.
I want to get back, Ed, to something you said. You said the Lord told you the next 5 years during that time period would be difficult. Was this after you got the punch in the car, or was it another time? I mean, did you physically hear him say this, or just sense it?
Oh, he always talks to me. Always talks to me directly. So, no, this is in 08. In 08, when I looked at all my real estate, and I owed so much more than it was worth, and I had no idea how to get out of it. And I prayed to him and said, God, I need your help on this one. And he said, nope, not right now, pal. You're going down hard, but I will be with you. He wanted to teach me a lesson, a good lesson, and he did. He taught me that he will never leave me. He taught me I can fight through anything. And every step along the way, when it got better, I knew it was him. So in 2013, when I bought that property, and I smiled, I can't believe I bought this property, and then he punched me, that's when he said, okay, now you're out of it. And I was with you the whole way, and I said, yes, I knew you were. You didn't need to punch me on that one, but I knew you were with me. And when he punched me, that was when it all changed, because that was 5 years later. It was a five-year hell for me. I lost everything. I couldn't pay my own electric bill 3 different times. I went to the hospital 5 times. I went blind from the pressure, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Wait a minute. You went blind?
Yeah, I was looking at one of my properties one time, and my eyesight just went black.
I
realized I probably hadn't
eaten
for 3 days. I probably hadn't slept for 5 days. And I knew where there was a Wendy's. And I started walking, holding my hand on the building, and just walking by and holding on the buildings. And someone said, well, you all right? I said, yeah, I need to get something to eat. And they walked me to the Wendy's. I got a burger and a Coke. Eyesight came back. And I rushed myself to the hospital, major migraine. But that's how bad, that's the pressure I was under. But that's okay. I love talking about it, because I went to the bottom, and I fought. I didn't fight back. God pulled me back, and all these little things, all these little good things happened to me, and I knew he delivered every one of them, because the things that happened to me weren't things that a human could create, and that's a whole nother show, but good things happened to me out of nowhere, and I said, wow, that's a gift, and every time I knew it was a gift, today, 12 years later, I'm retired. So think about that. 12 years ago, I couldn't pay my electric bill. Today, I'm retired.
It's amazing.
It is. It's all hand-delivered. And when I'm sitting in that prayer service, and when I listen to Dennis and Donna, Tony, Paul, and Doc sing, and then I look at my speakers getting ready to go up there and say whatever's on their mind, their nervous wrecks, and then everybody knocks it out of the park, I just sit back and say, well, what a great world we have. What a great team we have. And what amazing potential all these people have. We can go so much higher. We've got so much more to give. We're nowhere. And we're having a blast. And we're happy. because we're no longer doing it alone. We're doing it with the ultimate partner.
So, Ed, I know you're speaking to many people today who are just tuning in. My sense, as always when you're on the air with me, I just sense that you're speaking to someone today who just doesn't believe that God is with him or her. And as someone who may be just tuning in, you're probably wondering, who is this guy, a saint? You know, Saint Ed Morris? I'd love to know, Ed, you know, when all this was happening to you with the Lord, you were not an altar boy. You were a married man with six kids, and you were sinful, as we all are. So speak to the person who's listening who thinks, oh, well, Ed had it all together spiritually. You didn't have it all together spiritually.
Yeah. I mean, I was blessed with a good faith when I was young. So I always loved God. I mean, one thing I always say to myself, if someone said, what's one of your top accomplishments, is I've never missed Sunday Mass in my life. I'm 62. So I love saying that. Now, I don't know if I'm saying it because I love Mass or I feel like I'm Cal Ripken and I don't want to break the streak. I always laugh at that one, but I don't want to break the streak. But here's what I would say, and this is why I never miss Mass, is because of one thing. If I don't go to Mass, I'm not giving myself a chance to learn. If I stay home, I didn't give myself a chance to learn something that goes on at that Mass. If I go to the Mass, I at least have a chance. Maybe I'll see something. Maybe something will strike me in there. And it does all the time. Like I said, my great advice to everybody would be read about the mechanics of the Mass and what actually goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll sit back and say, whoa, I didn't know that. The Mass is nothing but a whole bunch of home runs, a whole bunch of hat tricks if you're a hockey player, a whole bunch of three-pointers if you're a hooper. It's the whole thing is one monster MVP event, but we don't know what it is. I'm starting to learn. Now, I'm 62. I'm only starting to learn now. And so read a little bit about what's really going on, and everybody sit back and go, oh, wow, I didn't realize that. And then go to the Mass and observe what you just read about.
Mm-hmm.
The Mass will change. And here's my number one advice I would give somebody. And I send these, like, this coming Sunday, there's going to be a gospel. Read it today. Read it tomorrow. It takes you 2 minutes. Read it a couple times before Sunday. And then reflect on it. And say, what does that gospel mean to me? And then, when you go to church, say, okay, I'm going to listen to this priest now, see how he interpreted the gospel. And then you compare your thoughts with the priest's thoughts, his homily. And the great thing about it is all you're doing is you're doing a pregame. The kids love to hear a pregame. You know, when they go to parties, where are they going to a pre-party? That's all I'm saying. Go have a pre-party on the Mass. When you walk into the church, already do your homework. The whole Mass will be so different to you. I know for many years I would sit back and I would love the priests that gave long homilies because I could maybe take a 5-minute nap. Now, you know, I bet a lot of people like that. But now I go in there, I've already been with probably two gospel reflections prior to that Sunday. I've already sat in a room with 30 guys and we've talked about what that gospel means to us. I'm all ready. I'm loaded up for that Mass. So that's what I would say to somebody. You say, who's out there could use a little boost? I say, okay, read this Sunday's gospel, prepare for Sunday Mass. The whole Mass will look different to you because you will be ready for the Mass. There's no such thing as a boring Mass, but there are such things as a boring heart. If you walk in the Mass expecting to be inspired, you're not going to be. But you should walk in there ready to inspire others. Then you'll be ready. You know, these churches are so amazing, everything about them. But don't expect them to deliver to you. You can't. You have to deliver to the church.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be scoring goals left and right. Nothing but breakaways.
You know, Archbishop Fulton Sheen said he was responding to young people saying, oh, I don't get anything out of Mass. Now, you've heard that a million times. Oh, I don't get anything out of Mass. And I'm quoting him, and he said, well, tell me, what are you putting into Mass? And
totally.
That really left the young people dumbfounded. And I've heard it like 10 different ways. I don't get anything out of Mass. It's really boring. And then he said, well, what are you putting into Mass? And that's what you're saying. You know, prepare, read the gospel ahead of time. Reflect on it. Ask Jesus to heal you when you receive the Holy Eucharist. Go to confession. Clean out the rain spouts. Clean out your rain spouts so you can hear God.
I'll tell you what.
Many of us get stuck. I call it, and I should write a book called Stuck in the Mud.
I go to Mass a lot now, and I don't receive communion.
Where we get stuck in the mud, and one feels sorry for others and oneself, and you get so stuck in the mud you can't hear the Lord saying, come on, follow me. And you heard the Lord when you were stuck in the mud by bringing lunch to a man who couldn't go out to get his food, and the Lord delivered a great blessing in your life. For your act of mercy to this man, for how many years did you deliver lunch to him?
Oh, every day for 1 year, including Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving.
There you go.
I never forget leaving my Thanksgiving table, my family, and said, where are you going? And I just couldn't stand the thought of this guy having no meal. So I said, I got to go deliver this thing. And caused a little bit of an uproar at my house, but I just couldn't sit there. Could not sit there. This guy didn't have a meal, and I'm sitting here with all this excess. So you know, you were talking a minute ago about someone who might be down in the dumps.
Yeah.
Another great thing to do is, if you want to pick yourself up, pick somebody else up.
Mm-hmm.
It works every time. I mean, now I'm talking, and you're promoting me as this big positive guy. I'm in valleys all day long, and I it's amazing how I can still get myself into a tizzy. I let things get to me. So I always bailing myself out. So what I immediately do is I go do something for someone else in an effort to help myself. And it's the only way I can get out of these things. It gives me the right perspective. Because when I'm in bad shape, when I'm down or dejected, it's because I didn't get something. Something good did not happen to me. So what I've learned to do and I've worked to do is eliminate myself. Why do I have to make Ed Morris happy? Forget about that. It's a whole bunch of work I don't have to do anymore. When I forget about making myself happy, I'll make someone else happy.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I eliminate Ed Morris out of my life. And that's a lot of work. I mean, that's a lot less work. But I'm here to serve, to make others happy, to make God happy. And I don't need to make Ed Morris happy. That's a waste of time for me. I want to make someone else happy. And then, down the road, maybe I'll get my payday. But I don't care about today.
It's very powerful, very, very powerful message. And I just know that people are tuning in. You know, the elections are over. How many times can you hear the pandemic updates? And they're tuning in to this radio station because it's a beacon of light. And we need these stories. I mean, you just said you opened yourself up and you say, every day I'm in valleys. I'm fighting all these valleys. Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes you real to a lot of people who are listening. You're not some saint, as we said in the beginning. You know, you're a guy fighting the fight every moment of every day.
Right, and Jesus has all this suffering that he assumed for everybody. So I say to him, give me more.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, offload some of that. You can't do it all on your own. Give me more. I'll take it all. I'll take as much as I can. I said, give me a bad day. That's okay, because I'm relieving his pain. And so I don't mind when I have a terrible day or something nasty happens to me. I just say, let me get through this thing. It's not going to wreck my day. I think that I'm helping God out by, you know, offshooting some of his pain. And you mentioned COVID there. I've gotten so many gifts during this COVID time frame. I'll give you a great example. My second daughter dates a boy who does not live in the Philadelphia area. So, we didn't really know him that well because he simply doesn't live in the area. And then during COVID, we saw him so much more. Mm-hmm. We got to know him tremendously, had such great fun with him, great time, and we're like, wow, really got to know this young man. And then guess what? They got engaged. So COVID gave us an opportunity to really know this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll always, if someone sits back and says, hey, remember in 2020, that crazy COVID? I'll always sit back and say, yeah, I remember it. I remember very well. Nothing but gifts for me. I learned so much about my religion. My daughter got engaged. I spent so much time with my family. I learned I can do a virtual prayer service with nobody in the audience. And we're ready to launch. We're ready to go national or global. No stopping us. So to me, it's a super, super lesson that God has given the world. And people say, oh, is this a delivery by God? I said, no. But God's helping us get through it. He didn't order COVID, but yeah. He's helping us get through it. Yeah. But so many good things have come out of it for me. And I'm not just being ridiculously optimistic. These are real good things that happened. And if you want to hear, how much more time we have, Ann?
Let's see. We have about 5 minutes.
All right. I'll tell you a final story. This time last year, literally this time last year, I'm a real estate owner, developer, manager. I have real estate. And so last October, a guy approached me and said, Ed, I'd like to, I have somebody who'd be interested in buying your properties. And I said to him, I don't want to sell. It's all I do. If I sold my properties, I wouldn't have anything to do. And he goes, you ought to talk to him. I said, okay, I'll talk to him. So we had a conversation. And then bottom line is we ended up reaching agreement. And we were going to close. The settlement was going to happen in April this past year, 5 or 6 or 7 months ago. April. So I said, good, I'm going to drag this sale along as slow as possible because I don't want to sell, but I'll sell in April, but I'm just going to drag it along. Well, in January, I get a phone call from the broker. And he said, hey, Ed, the guy has his equity in line. He has his bank loan in line. He's ready to go. He wants to close on February 13th. Would you do it? And I said, okay, I'll do it. So we close on February 13th. On February 20, COVID hits. Over the next 2 months, half of my tenants went bankrupt and out of business.
My goodness.
I sold my entire property before all this hit. 1 week. Now, you tell me who's in control of my life.
That's astonishing.
Yeah. So what is God telling me? He goes, Ed, I took care of you. You're retired. Go do some good works. He freed up my schedule to do something bigger. And I'm ready. I'm ready.
Well, it seems as if the virtual prayer meeting, it is so needed. I'm thinking of all the Western towns where they don't have any priest for Mass. I know there are some churches in Delaware County where the whole rectory has COVID. There are no priests for Mass.
Yeah.
The people are yearning for spiritual formation. Yearning,
yep.
Ed.
Yeah.
And there's
a great need.
I mean, get a website
right
going.
Down. We'll be right there.
And, I mean, you're a great leader. You're a great gatherer, you and Dennis. And the Lord will lead the right people to you. The time is now. There's no time to waste.
Nah. I sleep about 2-3 hours a night, maybe 4. I don't have any time to wait. I mean, I get up and I don't need 8 hours, like they say. It's too much good stuff to do out there. Give me 4 and I'm ready to roll.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, Ed, let's pray for the people. Even though we're not together in the studio, let's pray for the people who are listening today who need to know that God is with them in a special way, regardless of how desperate they are physically, emotionally, spiritually. Would you like to lead it, or do you want me to start?
I'll give it a whirl.
Okay, go ahead, Ed.
All right, dear God, we want you to give the confidence to all the people out there that are questioning little things in their lives. Help them through these little struggles. Give them a little ray of hope, something to spark their interest in you so they can come back so strong. Examples like the COVID and all that, that they're currently away now, but bring them back in a mighty way. Give them the confidence to read a little bit about the Mass and read about you so they can learn something that they don't know today, and give them the desire to learn more about you so that they will find joy and happiness and comfort in their lives. And that they all realize that our 60, 70, 80 years down here is a simple test for us to pass so we can live with you for eternity. Amen.
And Lord Jesus, I pray great blessings upon Ed Morris and his family and his friends involved with this prayer meeting in Dennis and all the wonderful people behind the scenes. We pray great blessings upon Ed and whatever it is that you desire for him to do. The next step, Lord Jesus, we ask that you protect him, protect, Lord, his family, and protect all that he is about and all that you want him to do in these days. And we pray for all the listeners today. With great faith, Ed and I stand together, believing that the Lord loves you very much and is a merciful God, and he wants to bring you great blessings in your life. It's just not an Ed Morris thing. It's your thing. It's your thing in South Philly, in New Jersey, in Maryland, in New York, in Pennsylvania, overseas, all our listeners. God wants to bless you today in a very special way. Open your hands. Open your hearts. Embrace his divine mercy today. Embrace his divine mercy in your life. And know that he wants good things for all of us. And that he is protecting us. Just simply ask him. Ask him, invite him into your home, into your family, into your life. Amen. And my friends, I ask you that you continue to support this amazing radio network in His Sign Catholic Radio Network, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, Pennsylvania, 19036. Kathleen McCarthy is the president of this radio network, and every day they're live on the air from 4 to 5. Tomorrow she's live from 4 to 6. And if you go to the website and click on the YouTube channel, you'll see Kathleen. She's actually live on the air on YouTube. So not only can you hear her, you can see her. And I ask that you continue to support this amazing radio apostolate. Thank you, Ed Morris, for being with us today. The next time we're going to be in the studio together. And my friends, until next week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. God bless you.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you, everybody.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.